Welcome to Tech Mobility Topics.
Safety is something we all think about. Buick has considered the subject from many angles. So for frontal impacts, Buick Regal offers a driver side airbag. And for side impacts, Regal meets 1997 government safety standards right now. 3 years in advance. Why has Buick put so much into Regal? Because you put so much into Regal. Regal from Buick, the new symbol for quality in America.
1994, 30 years ago, Buick was talking safety. And that was before anti-lock brakes. That was before side impact airbags. That was before traction control and stability control. Airbags were the thing. That was what they were bragging about for safety. Can you imagine that even then, those vehicles aren't as safe as vehicles are now? Buick Regal. The commercial trucking industry is in the midst of what the industry watchers call the messy middle, as many fleets are in the throes of decarbonization. While there are many paths to consider, one major automaker thinks they have a cost-effective answer. We talk a lot about battery-powered electric vehicles. We talk a little less about hybrid gas-electric vehicles. And we kind of flirt every now and then with hydrogen. Whether you're burning it directly as a fuel or using it as a feedstock in a hydrogen fuel cell electric system, which is a chemical reaction that gives off water vapor as its product, which is a wonderful thing. What we are seeing in the industry is that as they look at different alternatives, which also includes compressed natural gas, propane, and some other combinations, everybody's looking at a little bit something different. Some engine manufacturers, diesel engine manufacturers, are even looking at something they call fuel agnostic engines, meaning not just diesel fuel, but a variety of fuels that it can burn in that engine to get power to the wheels. I talked about how General Motors is going back really in some ways to their roots, becoming the supplier to the world. Not just on the battery side through their Ultium battery, but even on the hydrogen side, where they've developed a hydrogen fuel cell, which they are looking to put in a variety of things. Right now, they're in the middle of a federally funded demonstration project where they are providing a pilot vehicle to a gas and electric utility in the southern part of the country. Using the body and frame of a brand new Silverado 5500 medium-duty truck and integrating GM's Hydrotech fuel cell systems. They believe that this combination will be just the thing for fleets looking for something. We're talking about factory fleets, not over-the-road trucks so much, because up till now, that has been our focus when we talk about using fuel cells. We really haven't talked about the medium market to where hydrogen could be a choice where weight is an issue, as opposed to maybe using batteries. They believe that this truck in this configuration would have a range of more than 300 miles and a gross vehicle weight rating of 19,500 pounds and be capable of generating more than 300 kilowatts of power that can be used as off-board power in job sites or for electric vehicles when traditional charging is unavailable, according to GM. Let me put that in perspective for you. 300 kilowatts is enough power to power up 250 American homes. This five-year project, funded through the U.S. Department of Energy's $65 million Super Truck 3 program, will deploy hydrogen technology in a work vehicle and explore the creation of a microgrid that can support hydrogen fueling and storage. General Motors will work, the name of the utility down yonder is Southern Company. They'll work with them and an outfit called Nel Hydrogen on the microgrid project. So what's going on here? What's going on here is a need to decarbonize. Why? Yeah, it's good for the planet, but hold up. If you think for a minute that that is the only reason why this is even going forward, let me just be blunt with you for a minute. These companies, our bottom line is got to figure, make financial sense companies. A lot of time what federal money does is it's a little bit of a start to help defray the cost, but it doesn't cover the cost. All the companies involved will spend millions of dollars more than a little seed money that the feds provided to bring this out and track it. Why? Because there's a lot to learn. How does it do in duty cycles? Does what we think it's going to do, is that what it actually does? What kind of things happens out in the field that we did not account for, either good or bad? Can we use it the way it was designed? How does this differ in maintenance, operational costs, and durability compared to a similar GM, Chevy Silverado medium-duty 5500 with a diesel engine? Or God forbid, a gasoline engine? Can we get the cost of operation comparable, or can we beat it over time? Are there advantages that we can incorporate in this vehicle that we cannot currently incorporate into running this in a diesel version? Because at the end of the day, it's got to make economic sense. If it doesn't make economic sense, I don't care what you mandate. It's not going to happen. But if you don't reach out there, it's not going to happen. It was one of the advantages for those of you of a certain age of the space race back in the 1960s. We got so much technology as a result of them developing things for outer space that helped the local economy, helped us on planet Earth. It takes that money to be out there and do the basic research, do the basic scientific legwork to see if things are going to work. And unfortunately, there's no other way to get this to work but to put it out there and do it, use it, abuse it, test it, evaluate it, use it in every day, and just keep good records and see what happens. Things to remember. Number one, immediately, you don't have diesel fuel. Number two, cooling fluid. Number three, all the lubricants that you would typically need to run a diesel engine. Oil and grease and all that stuff you don't need. Transmission fluid, don't need it. So your cost operation from that standpoint is going to go down. That makes it even better because, yes, the detractors will say, yeah, but going to electric anything has a high out-of-pocket up front. Yes, it does. However, it's offset and usually more than offset by the cost of operation over time. The things you got to do to it, and the things, more importantly, you don't have to do to it. All the kind of maintenance. There are no spark plugs. There are no spark plug wires. All that changes. And for most of these vehicles that go electric, it's called over-the-air update. Meaning, as we figure out to do things better, because this is mostly software, we can send an update over the air to the vehicle where no matter where it is, and update it in real time right where it sits. You don't have to take it out of service to replace a part. All these things are coming together for cost. And GM, right in the middle of it, as usual. And GM's not alone. They're also doing this for railroad locomotives. Same thing, hydrogen fuel cells. This is a Tech Mobility Show. Do you listen to podcasts? Seems that most people do. Hi, I'm Ken Chester, host of the Tech Mobility Show. If you missed any of our weekly episodes on the radio, our podcast is a great way to listen. You can find the Tech Mobility Podcast just about anywhere you can enjoy podcasts. Be sure to follow us. From Apple Podcasts to iHeartRadio and many platforms in between, we are there. Just enter the Tech Mobility Podcast in the search bar wherever you listen to podcasts. Social media, it's the place to be, and we're no exception. Hi, I'm Ken Chester, host of the Tech Mobility Show. Several times a week, I post to TikTok several of the topics that I cover on my weekly radio show. It's another way to keep up on mobility, technology, news, and information. I've built quite a library of short videos for your viewing pleasure, so be sure to watch, like, and subscribe. That's the Tech Mobility Show on TikTok. Check it out.